Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Professional Series here with Wealth Lab, Scott Jackson and Phil Sproul. Phil, how are you?
Well, thanks, mate. Yourself?
I am well. Happy Monday.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to kick right into this. Purpose of this podcast is for you, the listener, to hear a little bit about what we are looking at from the world of financial planning, as well as discuss a couple of ideas that have come up from the prior week. So, Phil, I've got my two options. I'm just going to kick off, but give us a highlight. What are you going to go through as well?
Well, yeah, I want to have a bit of a chat today about setting goals for retirement. It's very quickly, if I meet with a couple that haven't discussed it before the meeting, you can quickly turn into a marriage counsellor rather than a financial planner. So I want to have a bit of a chat about some of the things you should talk about before having a chat to an advisor, even just to prepare for retirement in general.
All right. So I'm just going to touch on one thing that I think is kind of quite interesting. So there's a guy called Thomas Koppelman, who I really like to follow on Twitter. He's a financial planner based in the US. And he has got this post up on, that's the wrong screen. He's got this post up. You can see my inflation rate numbers there, which I was also looking at. He was talking about the most common question that people are asked from a financial planning perspective, and they are, do I rent or do I buy? Do I pay off debt versus invest, and credit cards or not? Those are the relevances to the financial planning world. And when it comes to all of those three, obviously we're going to have to say, talk to a financial planner first before you do anything silly. Because this is the value. This is the value of what we can do as an industry. We can actually answer those questions for you. From a professional perspective, what's your background in investing? What's your risk profile? What's gone wrong in your past? What happens if something goes wrong? These are usually questions that a professional can help you with that you've not considered. So I'm just going to just take, for example, pay off debt versus interest. Just grabbing that as a conversation topic of someone coming to us saying, look, I've got $100,000 in my offset account. Do I withdraw that money, put that into a share portfolio? What do you think I do? And at this point in time, a client has usually come to us having already done a bit of Googling themselves. They might have read a finance book, but they're not quite sure. Or maybe that they've been spoken to by a family member who's gone, you're not allowed to invest this money before you talk to Scott or Phil first.
Yeah.
Or maybe they've just lost a bunch of money and it started at 500,000 and they're down to 100 and they're going, shit, what do I do? In that scenario, if you are aware of someone that's coming across that scenario, look, I've got a little bit of money in my offset account, but I think I want to make more money, they will come to us. The types of answers that we'll be providing people will be around, well, what's your tolerance for loss? Have you ever lost money in the past through making financial mistakes? And how did you react? Because it's at that type of level, it's an emotional perspective. What's one of the questions we ask in our risk profile? How do you adapt when things go wrong? Is that one of my questions?
When things go financially wrong.
That's right. Yeah. So when we take people through our risk profile, it's how do you adapt when financially things go wrong? And I would say 8 out of 10 times people would say, oh, I bounce back pretty well. I actually disagree with them. I don't think that's true. If you are in that position of you're wanting to do something, you might have been doing a little bit of Googling. I really want you to imagine, what happens if I lose 50% of this money? What happens if it goes down by more than 50%? How am I going to be? Am I going to be comfortable? Am I going to sleep at night? And am I going to be just kicking myself saying I've made the worst investment ever? That's sometimes a point where we can't really help because you've already gone through that emotional journey. Just being mindful of I'd be completely comfortable and I've got no worries with that because I know that I've invested in something quality would be the alternative to someone who's going, oh my God, you know, I've made a huge mistake. I'll never recover. Financially, I'm just not this world. So that they're two spectrums. Consider where you are in that spectrum before doing anything. That's where I would sort of answer that sort of question at a high level before, without going into details with someone around their specifics and what we'd put together from an investment perspective. So those are my points. That's my first point. Phil, over to you. What do you want to run through? Let's go through the pre-planning for retirement questions.
Yeah. So I always find this one a really fascinating one. You know, if I sit down and talk to a couple and I say, you know, what does retirement look like for you? What do you want to do? And then they look at each other and say, "I don't know." Or the other one is, one of them will say, "Yeah, look, I really want to go and travel overseas." And the other one goes, "What? I'm staying at home. What are you talking about?" I've had those scenarios plenty of times. I just really wanted to nail that point down. Sit down and have that conversation before you speak to an advisor. Make for a more productive meeting. But it's a great conversation to have as well. You know, sit down and talk about, what does it look like? Well, I don't have to get out of bed every morning and go to work. What am I going to do?
So tough questions. What questions would you suggest someone asks? You know, maybe not you have a glass of wine, there's no one around, and you're like, right, we're going to talk money. What would be a couple of questions someone could ask?
Yeah, I actually came across this earlier from, and true to label, you know, Vanguard kept it super simple, but I actually think this completely nails it. Four simple things to discuss. Basic necessities.
Can you zoom in more?
How's that? Basic necessities, you know, we need somewhere to live, we need food to eat, we've got to pay the power bill, we need our medications, all that sort of stuff. It's kind of not negotiable, but where I find people go drastically wrong with this in retirement or in planning for retirement is massively underestimating the amounts that they're going to spend. And I'll talk more about that in a minute, but that's your simple stuff. Your just in case savings, you know, what happens when the fridge blows up? What happens when I need a new car? It doesn't mean, hey, I've got all my super now that I've retired, so I'm going to go and buy a $140,000 Land Cruiser. You know, having that money set aside for stuff that's going to happen. Then these two are the important ones that you need to spend a bit of time on. You know, the fun stuff. What do you want to go and do? What does retirement mean to you? Is it, you know, going for a surf every day? Is it hanging out with the grandkids? Is it traveling overseas? And at what standard do you want to be able to do things? And then your legacy, and this one's super important as well if you're a blended family, but I've also equally had the same conversations with people that have been married for 40 years where they haven't discussed it. Do you want to leave something behind for a charity, for your kids, whatever? You're happy to burn through the lot and live a good life. You know, have that conversation as well because we can plan for that stuff. But I think that's a really great starting point. Four simple questions just to sit down and have a chat about, but spend a lot of time on these last two and try and be really realistic with the first two.
So what about that question of I don't know if I want to leave any money behind. I think at that point that's a time to work with an advisor because some people they say they want to, but some people they say they're not. But that's a good opportunity to really mesh out. I refer to it as like the glide path of like how long we can make your assets last. And it's kind of like the angle of the glide path that is what we can work on. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, one medium-sized Land Cruiser will put a fairly big dent in that glide path pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff to think about around the timing of those sort of expenditure and all that sort of stuff, which I won't get into. We'll be talking for the next 6 hours, but there's a lot that we need to consider around that. But what we need from clients is some clear goalposts. You know, and we can help you set those goalposts, but all I'm saying is start having to think about it.
Yeah, I like it.
On that basic necessities too, I just wanted to call out this really quickly. So as for a retirement standard, they're an organisation, they go out, they look at what retirees are actually spending in retirement to get a good idea of sort of, you know, they set what's called the retirement standard. So how much money do you need to live off for what they call a modest or a comfortable retirement? Now, I'm not going to trawl through all of this and bore you all to tears, but...
For those that are listening, Phil's got a PDF up of the ASPA retirement standard, and that's dated, is it September 22?
September
22. So this is before the big run-up in inflation. So this is pre-2023 inflation explosion. So just keep that in mind as he goes through those numbers. The document you can just Google ASPA retirement standard. And have a look at it for yourself. So for those that are watching, Phil, can you just zoom in a little bit just so we can see what the numbers look like? So this is just a table that has the breakdown. This is a lean, and I'm using bunny ears, like comfortable. This is a very lean retirement. It's
definitely not my idea of a comfortable retirement. So this is weekly expenditure for each of these line items. Now, you know, we'll skip all the boring stuff, but this is the stuff you need to be really realistic about when you're working out what you need to live off, you know, your insurance, your rates, housing costs, all that sort of stuff. But then when you're starting to think about the fun stuff, you know, for a comfortable retirement, they're saying, let's see this, $35 a week is going aside for an overseas vacation. That was like, what, $1,800, $1,900 a year? I don't know where you're going for that as a couple. Domestic vacations was about $4,000 a year. So you can see that that's, you know, if you want to go and do some travel, which is a really common retirement goal, or you want to eat out regularly, like, what's that, $90 a week for a couple? I can't go out once with my family for $90. So, you know, really be realistic about the money, because when I ask people, what do you think you need to spend in retirement, everyone's, oh, it's 30, 40 grand, 50 grand. They're always really skinny numbers. This is assuming as a couple you've got 68 grand a year, and when I dig into these numbers, it's not the standard of living I'd be shooting for. So it's tough. I don't know, tough to consider anyway. But I would encourage people, if you've got the desire, to go and have a bit of a dig through this and have a really good think about what you actually might like to spend and what you actually might like to do in retirement. What do you reckon, Scott?
Completely. I mean, yeah, I spend all day telling people, and if you are going to engage us, we will always tell you, almost, I think you're a little bit short, let's keep you going forwards. Because that's the point of using an advisor anyway, because we're going to try and increase the glide path. Basically, if you have less than $5 million in super, I'm going to try and get you to have more money. At that point in time, we can probably take the foot off the brake and you know, take the foot off the accelerator and dial things back. But I think that's
might let you buy a Land Cruiser then.
0.4% of balances are less than over $3 million or whatever it is. It's not a lot. Cool. Thanks, man. Well, I'm just going to keep an eye on time. This is a short episode today. So as for figures, you can Google them yourself if you're interested to see what a comfortable lifestyle looks like, and you can agree or disagree. Just being mindful of the rent. Sorry, taking money out to invest is a super, super aggressive strategy, certainly if you're sort of towards your retirement years. So just be mindful of that one. Next week, we're going to be talking interest rates a little bit more. We're just running out of time, but I have just Googled, and I need you guys to be really clear. I'm going to do a screen share. Phil, have a look at this because you haven't seen my screen yet. When you Google best term deposit, the thing that's coming up here is a, and I'm using this in absolute bunny ears, high interest term deposit with a 10 to 12% target yield.
I'll take three. Yeah, geez.
Now, that is clearly not a term deposit. And there's a shitload of risk in that they're not exposing. So this is going to be some property fund or who knows what it is that's added the juice and added the risk. So the cash rate at the moment is about 3%. So 3.5, a term deposit should be about 4% at the moment. It's the 20th of Feb, 23. Anything higher than that, they've got to shove in a whole bunch of risk to be trying to get anything like that. High yield private credit funds, my God. So just be careful if you're doing a bit of Googling, just because it says term deposit in the title, it doesn't necessarily mean it's what you think is a term deposit. So just a word of warning, anyone doing a bit of search on that one. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Speak soon. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah.